a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Project Recovery, a podcast about addiction. More importantly, it's about recovery, and it's brought to you by our friends at knowyourscript.org. I'm Casey Scott. That is Dr. Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. So I've been sitting on this for a while.
Yeah?
And I wasn't sure I was going to read it. I didn't know what to do with it. I don't know how I feel about it. But it's the writings of my oldest daughter. I got her English teacher reached out to me and said, your daughter wrote this pretty amazing thing. And if she's willing to share it with you.
An assignment for class to write something?
It's a narrative.
A narrative, okay.
And he said, if she'll share it with you, you should really read it because I think it's pretty amazing. So I asked Presley, I said, hey, you know, your teacher said you wrote something pretty cool. Could I read it? And she goes, yeah, sure, Dad. I'll send it to you. And then she never sent it. And I thought that was a little weird. And so I said, hey, send me that thing. Oh, yeah, sure, Dad, yeah. But to be fair, my oldest daughter's kind of forgetful.
Okay.
You know, and so first I was like, well, maybe she doesn't want me to read it. I don't want to really push. But
the teacher didn't really let you know what it was about, that it was something impressive.
Yeah, I think he was respecting her privacy and her work. And, you know, but he just said, hey, this was pretty cool.
Okay.
So I finally got her to send it to me. And I read it.
And how old's Presley for the listeners?
She's 16.
16. Okay.
16. She's, to be honest and fair, she was probably most affected by my addiction.
She's the oldest, so she lived through it the longest.
Witnessed it.
Witnessed it, had more cogent memories of your addiction, sure.
And so I'm just going to read you the letter.
Okay.
I've got it right here. Presley Scott, back then and now. This narrative is about my life so far. I'm going to talk about how addiction has affected my life and all the things in between. As of now, from the years 2015 to 2020, were the most influential years of my life. These years had some of the darkest days in them, but they also had some of the best and brightest days. I was in a very tough situation, and I was able to get through it, and now I'm a happier person. I'm grateful for all the hard things I've been through. Now, we'll start from the beginning. For as long as I can remember, my dad's been an alcoholic. I remember going to parties with my dad driving there, but my mom would always be the one to drive us home. A part of me wanted to be just them being nice and taking turns driving, but I always knew the truth. I knew the way too much alcohol could affect someone. I knew how my dad would be one person when we showed up to the party and a completely different person when we left. There's always a lot of fighting. When they thought I was asleep, I was secretly listening. I remember thinking, maybe one day it'll stop. One day the fighting will stop and we can be happy all the time. I was a lot smarter than they thought I was, and I had to grow up a lot faster than many kids. It all got worse when my mom had finally had enough of it and divorced my dad. My parents got divorced on February 23rd, 2017. I have that date memorized because it was the day I hoped that would never come. It broke my heart to see my mom move out. She was my protector and tried to keep the addictions I'd hidden as much as possible. She was my best friend, and I could talk to her about everything. A part of me felt betrayed when she left. I felt alone and scared because I would never have her around 100% of the time anymore. She ended up moving in with her brother, who lives in Ogden, until she could get back on her feet. The custody was split 50-50. We would be in Ogden 50% of the time with my mom, and then my dad in Farmington for the other 50%. I remember the first day we moved some of our clothes into my Uncle Kyle's house. I cried. I cried for a long time. I didn't want to live up there away from my friends, away from my dad. Little did I know that living up there would make me the happiest during such a dark time. Living with Uncle Kyle was one of my favorite memories. I was going through a rough time for such a long time, but when I was there, I could forget about everything. I could be a kid and not have anyone to worry about. We could stay up till 3 in the morning just laughing, watching movies, and going to Wendy's just because we could. They were all things that could keep my mind off of all the other things that were going on. I needed my uncle and my aunt during this time. Living over there was one of the best things that we could have done. I cried moving into that house, and I even cried more when my mom found a house and we moved out. Again, I felt alone and scared not to have my uncle and all the fun as a distraction anymore. I like distraction because when I was with my dad's, I felt like I could not really be his kid as much. I felt like I had to step up as my mom when I was at my dad's. I love him more than anything, but drinking got worse once my mom left. Maybe it got worse, or maybe my mom just wasn't there to hide it anymore. I hated being there more than anything. Every day I was there, me and my dad would fight. The fights would be over the most stupid things. Some of them would be us fighting about dishes and even stupider things. Fighting with a drunk is the most annoying thing, especially when that drunk is your dad, who thinks he's always right when he's sober. All the fights were so mentally draining. As hard as I would try, I could never win. My dad would never let me leave either. I was a full-time babysitter. This just made me hate being there even more. I hated talking to my dad. Our relationship was so horrible during that time that one day it happened. On September 3rd, 2018, my dad drove drunk and hit someone. He got in a crash on his way home from golfing. He was on his way to pick us up. I remember this day vividly. My dad was supposed to get us around 3 in the afternoon. 3 came and went, and my dad still was not there. I had this sick feeling in my stomach all day. That day even felt darker than usual. It was cloudy and gloomy. Then my mom left, telling me she had to run an errand. I knew something was up because her voice was shaky and weird. She also did not make it home until 4 hours later. My dad had found a way to call us and told us he got hit by a golf club and had to go to the hospital. Later that night, she came into our room and told me what really happened. She told me, "Presley, your dad was in an accident. He was driving home and he hit someone. I don't know what's going to happen, but he's okay." I was so scared. But this is where the story turned around. That night, my dad decided that he needed to change. My dad's family all went over there to try to convince him to go to rehab, but he had already decided that he needed the help. That night, they called the rehabilitation center, and that bright early next morning, he checked in. I could not talk to my dad for a week once he got there. They had to do all these things to get him off of alcohol. It's very dangerous. Then for the next month and a half, my dad was in rehab. During this month, my little sister finally found out what really happened. The crash had been put up all over the news. My dad was working for the TV station, so the crash was posted everywhere. It ended up making the Salt Lake Tribune. A girl in my sister's class had broken the news to her at her school. It broke her heart. But she was just grateful that he was finally getting help. Me and my siblings could only visit my dad on Sundays and talk to him when he was able to use the phone. I've never been prouder of my dad than right then. The first time I saw him in rehab, he was a whole new person. He was fun to talk to. I could tell things were going to get better. Once my dad got home, it wasn't smooth sailing from there. He had lost his job because of the crash and had to work his way back up. One day we were sitting in the living room for a family meeting. My dad said, "Hey, I've been through a lot and we'll be okay." This made me mad. And I responded, "Really, Dad? You think you're the only one who's been through a hard time?" This made him think and reconsider everything that he had happened. And when we were able to have a good conversation after that. For a while, he worked with the rehab center and he attended. He would talk to people considering rehab and pick them up and take them to rehab. He was now dealing with all these addicts, and this really opened his eyes to what he dealt with when he was drunk. My dad did not want to work the rehab anymore, so he had an idea for a podcast. The podcast is Project Recovery. He talks about his journey, and he talks about other things and helps people on theirs. He's helping so many people and giving back. My dad is working so hard to get back where he was, and I'm so proud of him. Today, me and my dad are working on a relationship. I love being around him, and he makes me laugh and smile all the time. We don't fight nearly as much as we used to, and the living environment at home is so much better. I feel like I can step down as a part-time mom role. He also has a girlfriend now who's good to us. She is so nice. I'm grateful that my dad has found someone to love. The story has lots of ups and downs, but I'm very grateful at all. I'm so grateful that no one was hurt in the crash, but I'm also grateful that the crash happened. My dad would have never got sober if it wasn't for that. He had to hit rock bottom before he could get the help he needed. I'm much happier these days, and I love the man my dad has become. I love having a strong relationship with him, and I can't wait to make new memories to remember with him. I love you, Dad. And I read that not because of the cool things that I'm doing. I read that in hopes that someone hears this and realizes that addiction is a family disease. And as much pain as we're going through and as dark as it can get, other people around you are in just as much pain. And that was just from the eyes of a 14-year-old seeing her dad go through that. And I'm proud that she did this, but I'm ashamed that I did this. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I can't go back and change the fact that I did those things. And that's who I was. And it wasn't fair to put a 14-year-old, 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old through that, or my ex-wife or anybody.
It wasn't fair. You're right. But, Casey, resistance promotes growth. And you have helped your kids grow through this experience with you. It's, should you have done it? No. But it happened. Alcoholism is a disease. And I am more than impressed with the maturity that I'm picking up in her writing. Not just the story itself, but how she writes about it in such a reflective way. And that is a tremendous amount of growth for a 16-year-old to have had. It's a rough way to have it, so, but it is what happened. And when I say resistance promotes growth, that's a basic principle of the universe, is that growth never comes from easiness. Growth always comes from resistance or difficulty or challenges. And that's true physically, and it's definitely true emotionally. And this, I mean, I've seen you be vulnerable since becoming sober many times, but this is the most vulnerable I've ever seen you. There's not a, for the listeners, there's not a dry eye in this place right now listening to this. But more than anything, I'm grateful that you get to have a letter like that. I'm grateful that you're able to read that and realize that as a family, you guys are closer now because of the recovery process. And like you say all the time, this is a show about addiction, but more importantly about recovery. And that letter is recovery. That's recovery for the whole family right there.
So thank you, Presley, for sharing your thoughts with me. You're my pride and joy, and I love you with all my heart. Thanks for listening. Project Recovery is a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, recovery.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.